Parshas Bracha. We have learned in Parshas Ha'azinu that Hashem told Moshe, Alei el har ho'avarim hazeh. Go and climb up the mountain, Har Nevoi. And over there you're going to pass away. When the Malach HaMoves, the angel that takes the neshama away, heard this, he thought, oh, so now I have permission to take away Moshe's neshama. So he flew down and was floating over Moshe. When Moshe saw him, he grabbed him and threw him down to the ground. Moshe said to him, Hashem assured me that you have no power over me. So instead of trying to take my neshama away from me, I want you to stand by and listen while I bless the Yidden. Yes, Moshe forced the Malach HaMoves to listen to his brachas. And our Chachamim tell us that Malach HaMoves is just another name for the Satan, who wanted to prevent and hold Moshe back from blessing the Yidden. Instead, Moshe tied him down. That is, that Moshe had the power to stop the Satan, the Malach HaMoves, from holding back the blessings from Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu started Chumash Devarim with rebuke, Musar, to the Yidden, reminding them of all of the Averis, the sins that they have done, and warned them how careful they should be when they come into Eretz Yisrael. Also in Parshas Ha'azinu, we also learned in the song how Moshe warned them to be careful not to do any sins. It was now that Moshe wanted, right before he passes away, to bless the Yidden. And from Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Nevi'im, the prophets of the later generations, learned a lesson that after giving the Yidden Musa a rebuke, they should bless them. And this is what the Parsha Bracha begins with. V'zois ha-bracha, and this is the blessing, asher beirach Moshe, which Moshe blessed, ish ho-elikim, the man of God, es b'nei Yisrael, the children of the Yidden, lifnei Moshe, before his passing away. Now we see, the Torah calls Moshe, Ish Ha'elikim, a man of God. Now, to be named a man of God, Moshe must have done something extra special to deserve such a name. And our Chachamim tell us, Moshe was given this name, Ish Ha'elikim, only after he blessed the Yidden. Because anyone who defends and praises the Yidden is elevated by Hashem. Hashem makes the person greater. Moshe's bracha was greater than all of the brachas that the Yidden ever got before from any other tzaddikim before him. Even more than the brachas that the Yidden got from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, since Moshe was greater than them. The Medrash tells us, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Rabbis Banois Asu Choyel, many daughters have performed in a very special way. Ve'at Alis Al Kulana, but you excelled over them all. Our Chachamim tell us that Shlomo HaMelech means Moshe Rabbeinu, who was greater than all of them, greater even than the Avos. And the Medrash explains it like this. Adam HaRishon said to Moshe, I am greater than you. I was created in Hashem's image. Moshe Rabbeinu answered him, and I am even greater than you, because the great glory and the honor that was given to you, Adam, was later taken away from you after you have sinned. But by me, Hashem gave me a special glory, a shine, a ray of light of the Shekhinah on my face. And this was never taken away from me. The Medrash continues, Noach said to Moshe, I am greater than you. I was saved from the generation of the flood. Says Moshe to Noach, but I am even greater than that. You saved only yourself, and you weren't able to save the people of your generation. But I was able to save myself, and also my generation. That is, when the Yidden were to be destroyed, Chas v'Shalom, by the sin of the golden calf. I prayed to Hashem, and Hashem forgave the Yidden. The Medrash tells us that this is similar to two ships that were traveling on the sea. Each ship had a captain. Later, both ships were in danger. The captain of one of the ships saved only himself and not the rest of the ship. The other captain not only saved himself, but saved all the people of the ship. Who deserves a greater praise? Not the one who just saved himself, but the one who was able to save not only himself, but also the rest of the ship. And the same thing, Noach did not save anyone else besides himself. But Moshe saved himself and all the people of his generation. And that's why Moshe is greater even than Noach. The Medrash continues, Avraham Avinu said to Moshe, I am greater than you. I gave food to all the people who passed by and were traveling. Moshe answered him, but I did something even greater than that. You gave food to people who did not have a bris milah, and I fed the Yidden who had a bris milah the man that they got from heaven. Moreover, you lived near places that had food, so you were able to always get food for them, while I fed my people in the midbar, the wilderness, with the bread of heaven. The Medrash continues, Yitzchak said, Moshe, I am greater than you. I stretched out my neck on the Mizbeach by the Akedah, and I saw the Shekhinah. But, says Moshe, later on when you became old, your eyes were dimmed from seeing the Shekhinah. But I was able to speak to the Shekhinah face to face, and my eyes remained strong for my entire life. The Medrash continues, Yaakov said, Moshe, I am greater than you. I wrestled with an angel, that is the Malach of Esav, and I won over him. Moshe answered him, you wrestled with only one angel on Olam Hazeh, on the earth. But I went up to the heavens, and over there the angels were afraid of me. Yes. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Rabbis Banois Asu Chayil, many daughters, which means many great tzaddikim, have done great things, but Ve'at Alis Al Kulana, yet you, Moshe, you are greater than all of them. And Hashem said, since Moshe was greater than all of them, he is going to bless the Yidden. And here Moshe began with first praising Hashem, describing how Hashem revealed himself to the Yidden at Har Sinai to give the Torah. Matan Torah also points out the greatness of the Yidden, for of all the nations of the world, only the Yidden were willing to accept the Torah, and therefore they deserve the blessing from Hashem. Moshe said, Hashem came to the Yidden at Har Sinai just like a chassan who comes to meet his kala. Hashem first offered the Torah to all the Goyish nations, but they refused to accept it. First Hashem revealed himself to Esav's families, Hashem asked them,
"Will you accept the Torah?"
"Well, what's written in it?"
they asked.
"It says, Lo sirtzach, you shall not murder."
"If so, we cannot accept it. Our forefather Esav was blessed, al charbe chasichya, to live by the sword."
Hashem then offered the Torah to the families of Lot, that is, Ammon and Moab. And they also asked,
"What is written in it?"
"Lo sinaf, you shall not commit adultery," that is, that they should have marriages according to the laws that Hashem has given them. When Lot's families heard this, they said,
"The Torah is not for us. Our nation started off in a way that the daughters of Lot did not have a proper marriage according to the laws that God wants. So the Torah is not for us."
Hashem then offered the Torah to the families of Yishmael. They asked,
"What does your law say?"
"It says, Lo signiv, you shall not steal."
"But we come from Yishmael, who was a thief and a kidnapper. Such a law is not for us."
Yes, every nation on earth was given a chance to receive the Torah, in order that it should later not say,
"Hashem never gave us a chance. If he would have asked us, we would have accepted it."
That's why Hashem gave each nation a chance to accept the Torah. But each nation did not want to take it. Only the Yidden accepted the Torah without even asking what's in it. All they said was, "Na'aseh v'nishma." We shall do, and then we shall hear. Yes, Moshe is pointing out the greatness of the Yidden and why they deserve Hashem's blessing. Moshe continued praising Hashem that at Har Sinai, Hashem brought along with him only a little bit of the heavenly hosts. Not like a human being who displays and shows everybody all his wealth on his wedding day. Hashem showed us just some of his malachim.
Hashem gave the Yidden his fiery law, the Torah, which he had written down on the Luchais with his right hand.
Why is the Torah called a fiery law? What does it have to do with fire? Our Chachamim explain, the Torah existed even before the world was created. Before Hashem gave the Torah to the Yidden, it was written before Hashem in black fire on white fire. And later Moshe wrote it down with black ink on white parchment. Another reason why the Torah is called a fiery law, because the Torah was given amidst fire. The malachim coming down with Hashem at Har Sinai were malachim of fire. The mountain was on fire. It was given by Hashem, who's called Eish Eichla, a devouring fire. And Hashem's messenger, Moshe's face, shone from its fire. Moshe now blessed the Yidden that they should deserve to live forever in Olam Haba for having accepted the Torah. Hashem loved the Yidden with a great love. He bound up the souls, the neshamais of the tzaddikim with him to live forever. They deserve it, since they placed themselves at the foot underneath of Har Sinai and accepted the yoke of Torah. Moshe also praised the Yidden, even when Hashem shows favor to the Goyish nations and gives the Yidden into their hands, like in the time of Galus, or other times of suffering. Yet,
all the tzaddikim continue to stay close to Hashem, accepting Hashem's decree happily. Even when they are suffering, the tzaddikim do not move away from Hashem. They don't stop studying the Torah and guard the mitzvahs. And why is this so? Because the Yidden say and proclaim, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, the Torah which Moshe commanded us, Meirasha kehilas Yaakov, is an inheritance of Yaakov's congregation, the Yidden. We held on to it, and we will never leave it. And our Chachamim tell us, since the Torah is called Meirasha kehilas Yaakov, an inheritance for all the Yidden, we know that the Torah study is for every Yid, not only for great Rabbanim, Talmidei Chachamim, but for every single Jew. Some learn more Torah and some less, but everyone has a share in the study of Torah. And our Chachamim also explain the words Meirasha kehilas Yaakov, an inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov, may also be read Me'oirasa. What does Me'oirasa mean? Like the word Arusa, which means a Kala. When a Kala gets engaged to a Chasan, she is called Arusa. Me'oirasa kehilas Yaakov means the bride of the congregation of Yaakov. Yes, at Matan Torah, the Yidden became a Kala to Hashem. And that's why every Yid must fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. Before Matan Torah, you were able to choose whether you wanted or not. But once the Torah was given, every Yid has to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. Moshe continued to praise the Yidden. Vayehi vishurun melech. Hashem is always the king by Yishurun. Yishurun means the Yidden. Hashem is their king in all times, in times of well-being, as well as in times of misfortune when the Yidden suffer. Behis asef rashei am. Whenever the entire people are gathered together, they deserve a special blessing. Because as long as the Yidden are together, I am their king. That's why it's so important that the Yidden should always have Achdus, unity, and Avas Yisrael, all together as one. And then they deserve Hashem's blessing. And therefore, says Moshe, I will now begin to bless the Yidden. Moshe began by blessing the families of Yaakov's Bechair, Reuven, Yechi Reuven ve'al yamois. May Reuven live and not die, v'hi misav mispar, and may his men be counted among the tribes, the Shvatim. What does this mean? Well, as you remember, in Chumash Bamidbar, we learned that Reuven, God, and half of Shevet Menashe received a portion of Eretz Yisrael on the eastern side of the Yarden. But this was given to them on the condition that when the Yidden enter Eretz Yisrael and have to conquer it and get rid of the enemies, Reuven, God, and Menashe will go in the forefront and battle against the enemies. And this was a blessing for Reuven, that the soldiers of his Shevet, who marched in the forefront of the Yiddish army while conquering Eretz Yisrael, they should all be successful. None of them should fall in battle. And that their full numbers should return home. Our Chachamim tell us yet of another meaning of this bracha. We have learned in Parshas Vayetze how Reuven moved his father's couch from one place to another without permission,
and this was considered a sin, for which Reuven had ever since been doing teshuvah. And therefore Moshe said, "May Reuven live in Olam Hazeh, in this world, and may he not die in the world to come, Olam Haba. May his shevet be counted among the Yidden." Yes, Moshe benched Reuven that his sin should not be held against him in the future, since Reuven did teshuvah. In fact, Moshe's bracha helped Reuven get a share in Olam Haba. After Reuven comes Shimon. But if we take a look in the Chumash, we do not see that Moshe should bless Shimon. Why not? Well, Moshe didn't want to give Shimon his own blessing. He was angry at this Shevet because their leader, the Nasi, Zimri, had sinned in Shittim with a princess of Moab. But nevertheless, Moshe hinted a bracha to Shimon when he blessed the next son, Yehuda. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda." Listen, Hashem, to Yehuda's voice. The word Shema has the letters of the name Shimon. Yes, this was in order to hint a blessing to Shimon too. And now we come to Yehuda's blessing. Moshe blessed Yehuda after Reuven because Yehuda was the leading shevet. Furthermore, as Rashi tells us, Yehuda was the one who encouraged Reuven to do teshuvah for his sin, to admit openly that he did something wrong and did teshuvah. How did Yehuda encourage Reuven? Well, as we learned in Parshas Vayeshev, Yehuda admitted what he did with Tamar, and this encouraged Reuven that if Yehuda admitted, then I should also admit my wrongdoing too. And that's why Moshe placed Yehuda's name and his blessing right after Reuven. Then Achachamim give us yet another reason why Yehuda's blessing came right next to Reuven's. It is because during the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, the Yidden carried with them the Aron, the coffins of all of Yaakov's sons. Eventually, they were supposed to bring their bodies to Eretz Yisrael to be buried there. But while the other bodies remained complete in their Aron, in their coffin, Yehuda's bones became disconnected and rolled around in his coffin. How did this happen to Yehuda? Well, as our Chachamim tell us, Yehuda brought this punishment upon himself when he promised to his father Yaakov, "Allow me to take Binyamin to Mitzrayim, and if I do not return him to you, let me be banned all my days, even after my death." Now, even though Yehuda did bring Binyamin back to Yaakov, but since Yehuda was a tzaddik, and he said such words, by force these words took effect. And therefore, the neshama of Yehuda was not able to enter Gan Eden, and his bones found no rest in the Arein too. Moshe begged Hashem, "Shall Reuven's body remain complete while Yehuda's body is disconnected? Wasn't it Yehuda who caused Reuven to make a teshuvah openly? Therefore, Hashem, listen to the voice of Yehuda." As soon as Moshe said the words, "Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda," listen, Hashem, to the voice of Yehuda, immediately Yehuda's bones became reattached. And when Moshe said the words, "Ve'el amay tivienu," and bring him to his people, Yehuda's neshama was admitted to Gan Eden. Rashi tells us, Shema Hashem Karel Yehuda, listen Hashem to the voice of Yehuda, also means Hashem should listen to the great people who come from Shevet Yehuda, who in the future are going to pray to Hashem for help, and Hashem will help them. The tefillah of David, of Shlomo, of Asa, when he prayed because of the Cushim, Yehoshaphat, when he prayed because of the Ammonim, and Chizkiah, when he prayed because of Sanchedev. Hashem should listen to their prayers. Ve'el amoy tevi'enu, and to his people shall you bring him in peace from the war. Moshe continued, Yodav Rav Loi, may his hands fight for him. Ve'ezer mitzarav tihiyeh, and may you be a helper against his enemies. Here Moshe davened for Yehoshaphat over the war of Ramesh Gilad, of which it says, Vayizak Yehoshaphat v'Hashem Azaroi. Yehoshaphat cried out, and Hashem helped him. What's the story with Yehoshaphat? Well, in Divrei Hayamim, it says that the great tzaddik Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, married off his son to the daughter of a big Rasha, Achav the Rasha, who ruled the kingdom of the ten Shvatim. Before going to war against Aram, Achav the Rasha begged Yehoshaphat to join him. Now during the battle, enemy chariots closed in around Yehoshaphat. Now Yehoshaphat was surrounded from all sides, and he cried out to Hashem. It was decreed in heaven that Yehoshaphat should be put to death because he joined the wicked Achav in war. But his outcry and the schus of Moshe's tefillah that referred to Yehoshaphat caused that this decree was taken away. And suddenly, all the enemies who surrounded him called out, "This is not the king who rules over the kingdom of the ten tribes whom we seek." And they all went away. And Hashem added another 7 years to Yehoshaphat's life. And now Moshe is going to give a blessing for Shevet Levi. Ule Levi Amar. And concerning Levi, Moshe said, Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish chasidecha. You, Hashem, have clothed Aharon, whom you found to be righteous, with your Urim v'tumim, that is, the Chayshen Mishpat. You tested Aharon at the waters of Meriva, where you decreed that he must die in the Midbar, for standing by when Moshe hit the rock. Aharon could have said, "I didn't commit any sin, why must I die?" Yet Aharon accepted the decree from Hashem. He had no complaint, and therefore he deserved to wear the Urim v'Tumim over his heart. Achachamim tell us that Moshe's words was also a praise for the entire Shevet Levi, who were chosen to serve Hashem in the Mishkan later in the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe said, "Hashem, whenever you tested Shevet Levi, they were perfect. When you put them to the test at the waters of Meriva, they were loyal. They didn't complain. They didn't challenge Moshe at the waters of Meriva like the other Yidden did, asking Moshe to bring forth water from a rock other than the one that Hashem chose. They also didn't participate in any of the ten trials with which the Yidden tested Hashem in the Midbar. And when Hashem wanted Shevet Levi to kill out all those who worshipped the Egel, they didn't have any pity on the worshippers. They did what Hashem wanted. They executed every one of them, even their own relatives. They observed your mitzvah, there shall not be unto you the gods of others.
They also did not give any gold for the golden calf, nor did they serve it. They guarded your bris, your covenant of the bris milah, with a lot of courage. They made a bris milah to their children even in the midbar, where the rest of the Yidden didn't want to make a bris milah for their children, because they were afraid to, because of the danger of traveling. This Shevet deserves to be those who teach your laws to Yaakov and your Torah to Israel. The Kayanim from this Shevet will bring every day the Ketitus before you and bring Karbanos on your Mizbeach. Bless Hashem the belongings of the Levim and accept the work of their hands, the service of the Karbanos, favorably. Now, why did Moshe ask that Hashem should bless the possessions, the belongings of the Levim? Moshe wanted that the Levim should not have to work a lot in Gashmias, in worldly matters, in order that they should be able to spend more time of learning Torah and teaching it to others. Then Moshe gave another special bracha to Levi, that no one would ever get up against them to argue whether the kahuna belongs to those from Shevet Levi. Moshe said, Hashem should strike through the loins of those who rise up against the kayanim of Shevet Levi. Smash them down that they shall not rise again. This bracha of Moshe was actually fulfilled many, many years later, when there was a king by the name Uzziah, who ruled over the kingdom of Yehuda. He entered the Beis HaMikdash to bring Ketitus, something which is forbidden to someone who's not a Kohen. And Hashem gave this king Tzara'as. Moshe also saw with Ruach HaKodesh that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chashmonaim, who come from Shevet Levi, would battle against the big, large army of the Greeks. And that's what Moshe prayed, that Hashem should strike through the loins of those who rise against the Levim. And that was the great miracle of Hanukkah that took place in the schus, and the merit of Moshe's bracha to Shevet Levi. Now, which Shevet is Moshe going to bench next? Well, since we just came from Shevet Levi, who brings the Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, on whose piece of land was the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach built? On the land of Binyamin. And that's why, after blessing Shevet Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu now blessed Shevet Binyamin. Now, actually, before the Yidden built up the Beis HaMikdash, from when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they built up the Mishkan in several different places. One of the places was Shiloh, where they built the Mishkan Shiloh. Now this was actually on the part of land which belonged to Yosef. Now even though Yosef was the older brother than Binyamin, and Mishkan Shiloh was before the Beis HaMikdash, yet Moshe first blessed Binyamin and then Yosef. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash was more precious in Hashem's eyes than the Mishkan of Shiloh. Moshe said, may Hashem's beloved, that is Binyamin, live securely, safely. Hashem protects him forever and rests between his shoulders. Now what does Moshe mean? It means that the descendants of this Shevet will live safely without any fear of the enemy. Hashem will constantly be over Binyamin's portion to let his Shechina rest there. And the Shechina dwells between Binyamin's shoulders. That means the Beis HaMikdash will be built on a high hill in his piece of land. Our Chachamim tell us, David HaMelech wanted very much to build up the Beis HaMikdash,
and he made all the preparations that he could. When David HaMelech visited Shmuel HaNavi, they studied the halachos, the laws, about the future Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech suggested that it should be built on top of the highest mountain in Eretz Yisrael. But then they considered this pasuk, Uvein Kesefav Shachin, that Hashem dwells between his shoulders. What does this mean? Since the pasuk does not say that Hashem dwells on his head, which is the highest part of a person's body, they decided that the Beis HaMikdash should be built on a hill in Binyamin's territory, in his piece of land, but not on the very highest. Actually, if we look in the pasuk, we see that Moshe benched Binyamin with three things. Yishkoilo vetacholav, the Shechina shall dwell securely over him. That hints at the first Beis HaMikdash, where the Shechina was completely revealed. The next thing is Chayfef Olav. He is above him. That is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Shechina was much less than before. And then comes the third thing, Ovein Kisefav Shachain, and he dwells between his shoulders. This is talking about the third Beis HaMikdash of the time of Mashiach, when Yerushalayim will be called the throne of Hashem. Now, why did Binyamin deserve that the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina should be in his part of land? Halachah Chachamim tell us several reasons. One of them is, Binyamin was an extra special tzaddik. He was one of the people who passed away without any sins at all. This tzaddik, who's called Yedid Hashem, the beloved one of Hashem, deserved to have the Shechina dwell in his portion. The Gemara tells us, Yavo Yedid, Ben Yedid, Ve'yivne Yedid, Li'yedid, Bechelkoi Shel Yedid, V'yiskapru Vo'yedidim. What does this mean? Yavo Yedid, Ben Yedid. Let the beloved Shlomo HaMelech, descendant of a beloved Avraham, the Yivne Yedid Liyedid. Let him build the beloved, that is the Beis HaMikdash, to the beloved, Hashem. Bechelkoi Shel Yedid, in the portion of the beloved, Binyamin, V'yiskapru V'yedidim, to get forgiveness from Hashem for the beloved ones, the Jewish people. Yes, since Binyamin was the Yedid, the beloved of Hashem, more than everyone else, Hashem chose his part of land to have the Beis HaMikdash. Another reason why Binyamin deserved it, Binyamin was the youngest of Yaakov's sons. He always stayed with his father. When his father Yaakov wanted to walk, he used his son's shoulders as a support. So Hashem said, the tzaddik Yaakov rested his hands on Binyamin's shoulders, I will let my Shechina rest in the same place, between his shoulders. And now we come to the blessing of Yosef. Moshe blessed Yosef's portion in the land, that it should give out more delicious fruits and vegetables than any other portion of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe said, blessed by Hashem be his land, with sweet delicacies produced by the dew and rain of heaven, and by the water from the depth of the earth, with sweet delicacies brought forth by much sunshine and by the moon. Yes, certain plants like cucumbers and pumpkins ripen by the moonlight. May his mountains be blessed with the earliest ripening of the fruits, and his land with hills should constantly give fruits.
May his land be blessed with the delicacies of the earth and its fullness by the goodwill of Hashem, who revealed himself to me originally in the thorn bush. May this blessing be a crown on Yosef's head, on him who was separated from his brothers when they sold him. Nevertheless, he forgave them and treated them nicely and gave them food in the years of hunger. Moshe concluded his blessing by saying with Ruach HaKodesh a special bracha about two of Yosef's famous descendants, Yehoshua and Gideon. Moshe said, on the leader Yehoshua, who will come from Yosef, Hashem will give the strength of the ox and the beautiful horns of the Re'aim. With them, he will destroy the 31 kings of Eretz Canaan. Tens of thousands of Canaanim will be killed by Yehoshua, who comes from Ephraim. And thousands of Midianim will be killed by the judge Gideon, who comes from Menasheh.